Listen in as John Martinez examines the hymn, I Am Resolved.
Welcome to Bridgecast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topic.
Pastor Paul had a stapled copy of a document there. And then you also saw him, and I don't make any apologies that the hymn is darker rather than just on plain black and white, because this is actually an original scan of the very first publication of this hymn in 1896 of I Am Resolved. But what we're going to do is we're actually going to take a look at this hymn and see a little bit of the background, not only of the hymn, but also even more specifically of the writer of the text of the hymn, and a little bit about the gentleman who was the writer of the tune, the composer of the tune. But Palmer, if you want, you can flip that sheet over, and you're going to see on the other side is some information and some it's a little bit of a history of this hymn. And essentially, what we'll do is walk through that. But Palmer Hartsoe is the person who actually did the writing or the text, producing the text of the hymn I Am Resolved. And a lot of times we make the assumption, and I know I do, that when we're looking at a hymn, is that the person who wrote the music is the one who wrote the words. And or the one who wrote the words is the one who wrote the music. It's not always the case. Matter of fact, with a lot of hymns, it is the case that multiple people will chime in. And you a lot of times will have, as in this case with I Am Resolved, you have a person who wrote the text specifically for an event that was going to take place in the 1800s, an event called the Christian Endeavor Convention. We probably may know that that group as the Youth or Christian Youth Endeavor is what is more commonly referred to today. But this event that was taking place in 1896, there was a group of church members that were representatives that were going to attend from Ohio. And so Henry Fillmore Sr., James Henry Fillmore Sr., is the one who owned a publishing house called the Fillmore Brothers Publishing. And there's a little bit of a back history with that, too, I'll share with you in just a second. But he was a pastor and a minister and also a musician as well. And he wrote the text for I Am Resolved, he wrote the tune for I Am Resolved, and he entitled the tune originally Endeavor, and he wrote it for the purpose of the Endeavor Convention, which was to honor its founder, Dr. Clark, and or the originator or the founder of the Christian Endeavor group, and so they were going to honor him. So he went to one of his employees, who was Palmer Hartsoe. Palmer Hartsoe was one of the staff writers, text writers and hymn writers, and musician as well, for the company of the Fillmore Brothers Publishing Company. And he said, I want you to write a text for this tune. So here is a tune that's already written, music that's written, and then he says, I want you to put words to this tune. a lot of times when we write music, we make the assumption that we've got words, and then we're going to add music to those words. And a lot of times we'll look at some of our hymns that are based either exactly or loosely on psalms out of scripture, and then people will add tunes to those. But in this case, the tune was written first, and was asked to add the text to it later. Well, I guess it's possible that that Hartso took the title of Endeavor for the conference that was going to take place to heart, and he said, "Well, Endeavor means to work or to strive," and so perhaps maybe he said, "Let it be resolved." I'm just guessing. There's anywhere that I've seen that he said anything like that. But I think by evidence of looking at the hymn, "I Am Resolved," you can see how he partnered that, or those thoughts were pretty parallel to that. You can see a little bit of what I've written there on that sheet. That there's a little bit of a history that Palmer Hartso came through in terms of his faith and his church background. He and I think this is really interesting. His parents' names were Wells and Thankful. Those were his folks' names, and they were from Michigan originally, and they were active in what was referred to as the Michigan Baptist Convention at that time. I'm not sure if in the 1850s, if the Michigan Baptist Convention was what we would refer to as a convention in the SBC today, Pastor Paul, but that was what it was referred to. He was an active minister in the Michigan Baptist Convention. Their family eventually moved to Plymouth, Michigan, and that's where Hartso or Palmer attended college. He went to Kalamazoo College. He also attended Michigan State Normal, and he studied music. And he moved from there. He moved into where he was teaching singing or vocal music in an itinerant kind of process. You know, we look at preachers and we say, well, preachers are referred to as itinerant pastors, and they go from church to church or location to location, sometimes over the course of one or two days, riding from one place to another, preaching the sermon of the week or whatever it is that they did, and teaching. Well, there were also itinerant musicians as well, who literally, Palmer Hartso was one of those. He had singing schools that he had areas where he would go and literally go and teach students wherever they were. So he went to them. Eventually, the Fillmore Brothers Publishing took an interest in him, and they hired him. And so they were out of Ohio, is where they were based. And so they moved to Ohio, and that's where that relationship began. This is an interesting thing. Hartso is noted for writing texts and hymns to over 1,000 hymns. However, there's only a couple or three hymns that have, of his specifically, that have lasted. And one very specifically is "I Am Resolved." "I Am Resolved" is published in over 150 publications, most of which are hymn books. And actually 151 is how many different hymn books that he's published in. And so that one hymn has taken flight and really endured. It's really seen a life of its own. And I don't know, I think a lot of modern musicians would probably have, there you go, you got somebody calling in now. A lot of modern musicians would have a similar kind of effect with whatever it is, whether it's Christian music ministry or otherwise. There's always, a group is always known for one or two songs. When you think of a group or a musician or a band or or whatever, you always remember that one song that they're known for. And in this case, Hartso is known for I Am Resolved. And that's the one that has endured through the years. So here is another interesting aspect. The music world that we know today is very, very specific. And when we think of somebody who's in some aspect of the music industry, we think of, oh, that person is a church musician, or that person is a in a band, or that's a rock person or a pop person, or that's a person who is in music media or whatever, and you kind of fill in the gap. Everyone has their specific area of music. Not necessarily so many, many years ago, because when you were a musician, you did a lot of different things. And so there was a lot of crossover that wasn't necessarily crossover. It was just that you were a musician. And in this case, James Henry Fillmore is a senior, who is the one that commissioned, essentially, or told Hartso to write the text for this hymn. His son, Henry Fillmore, or James Henry Fillmore Jr., is actually known as a prolific band music writer. A lot of Fillmore marches are performed even today by very prominent bands. The Marine Band in Washington performs his marches very regularly, and things like the Circus Bee, Americans We, and just a number of other marches that are very, very prominent marches that if you heard them, you'd say, hey, I've heard that, probably in some kind of movie music or something like that. But you've heard a lot of these marches, no doubt. Or if you've listened to bands, school bands or whatever play, you've likely heard Fillmore's marches and tunes and things like that. This is the interesting thing, because Henry Fillmore Jr. wanted to be a band musician. His dad, Henry Fillmore Sr., thought it was an evil thing for him to be involved in playing instruments, band instruments. It was just too worldly for him. So his mother secretly bought Henry Fillmore Jr. a used trombone, slide trombone, when he was young, and he took to it. And he loved that thing, and he learned how to play it, and so much so became an incredible musician and composer of band marches. And of course, his history probably supersedes and it goes far past what his father's music ministry was ever accomplished, because his name is completely known in the professional music world today. So just a side note, basically, is what that is. But let's look at the hymn that Hartso put words to, and let's take a peek at this, because it has five stanzas, and the five stanzas are in an interesting kind of pattern that are focused on the Savior. If you look at stanza one, well, you see in that sheet that I left there for you, the song expresses the resolve of the necessity to obey the gospel and be saved. So essentially, there hymns and hymn writers were focusing on this emphasis of salvation and the gospel. These were gospel hymns, and probably more information you need. One of the things that was very typical of the gospel era in hymns is this dotted 8/16 rhythm that you see. That is very typical. Today, we don't usually sing, even though we see the dotted 8/16 rhythm, which is very common at that time. I am resolved to longer, to linger. You can see how very march style it was and very rigid. We typically just turn those into eighth notes, and we say, I am resolved no longer to linger. And then go a little further and add a different little bit of a list to it as well, which you'll see when we go to sing it, it feels more natural for us to sing it that way. But we typically avoid singing that dotted 8/16 rhythm like they used to have. But anyway, that's more information probably wanted. Stanza 1 says that we must be resolved no longer to linger from the Savior. What does that verse say? It says, I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. We're lingering from the Savior. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. There's the world and there's the Savior. And it's this which is going to tug at you and which is going to win. So that first verse says we must be resolved no longer to linger from the Savior. Verse 2 or stanza 2 says that we must be resolved to go to the Savior. See what it says there? I'll go to the Savior leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of light. You see kind of where this pattern is? I do not belong to the Savior, verse 1. I'm resolved no longer to linger or to wait, but I'm to go to the Savior. Now, verse 2, I will go to the Savior and I will leave what I've been, what this world was charming me with. And verse 3, or stanza 3, says that we must be resolved then, after going to the Savior, to follow the Savior. Because we know that Christ came not only to save us, but we are to follow Him and to be obedient in our life to Him. I have come that they may have not that they may have life, but that they may have life more abundantly. We see in John. And so, what does that third verse say? It says, "I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day, and heed what He says, and do what He wills." So we're saying that now, verse 1 is we're not going to linger from the Savior. Verse 2, we're going to be resolved to go to the Savior. Verse 3, then resolve to follow the Savior. The fourth stanza says that we are to be resolved then to enter the kingdom of the Savior. So what is the kingdom of the Savior? The kingdom of the Savior is the church. The kingdom is the church. So as I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still I will enter in. When we enter the kingdom, then we're committing or resolving to do what the kingdom demands or expects of us. And that is to reach the world with the gospel. And that's where it naturally leads to the fifth standard. And the fifth standard says essentially that we must be resolved to ask others to come with us. Not be just satisfied that we are in the kingdom and that we are heaven bound, as it were, but that we will take as many as we can with us. And how do we do that? Not by doing works for them, obviously, but by living this life in front of them, which has influence, which brings attention to the Savior. And then as the Savior then calls, they respond and they can see an example. The chorus, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I think the emphasis there on this resolution of coming to Christ is that it's this picture of the prodigal son. But what is the attitude of the prodigal son? We see in Luke where he says in this prayer that he practices, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before You, and I am no longer worthy to be called Your son. Make me like one of Your hired servants. His resolve, his attitude was, I will do what it takes. Not that doing anything or even the resolve that we have will enter us into the kingdom, but our attitude is that of obedience. And so you could see that this little pattern of coming to the Savior, realizing that he needs to come to the Savior, going to the Savior, then being faithful to the Savior, and then committing themselves in verse 4 to the kingdom of the Savior, and then being resolved to bring. You see how that flow and that pattern goes. So I don't know. I've never attended a Christian Endeavor conference or convention or anything like that. I do know that it's interdenominational, and it has been, I believe, from the start, from its inception. Interdenominational, meaning that different denominations would certainly be welcomed, and it's not focused on one denomination only. But the word endeavor and the word resolve certainly have some partner or joint things. So I think it would be good for us to go ahead and sing this hymn with all of those thoughts in mind that we just looked at.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.